voices, one freedom, united in the First Amendment. With the rise of independent media, America Out Loud turns 8 years old. Happy Easter, my fellow Americans, and welcome to a special edition of Viewpoint this Sunday. Trevor Louden starts the broadcast with an analysis and warning to America not to be missed. A fantastic roundtable with the likes of Lieutenant Colonel Sarge Sangeri, Dr. Peter Bregan, and Daniel Baranowski all join me in the quest for free speech and 8 amazing years. Viewpoint this Sunday is next.
Time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit, and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation, all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to the Weekend News Magazine, Viewpoint This Sunday. It is Malcolm Outloud here. And my fellow Americans, I am pleased to say 8 years. April 1st, in the year of our Lord 2016, the network launched. And boy, it has been a ride. I'll tell you, lots happened since then. Again, welcome into the broadcast. A privilege to have you always here, my fellow Americans. And going to start with some of the hot news of the day, of course, and we'll do that with a dear friend of the network and the platform here. Trevor Louden joins me here. Trevor always brings a unique perspective to the conversation. Why I love to talk to him. He's an analyst, political commentator, author, speaker, brilliant filmmaker, has done some outstanding projects, great author. Books are in the America Out Loud bookstore as well. Trevor, 8 years, here we are, and it's a privilege to have you here on the eight-year anniversary here. Thank you, sir.
Well, it's great, Malcolm, and it's good. You know, you spent 20% of your life with the program. It's fantastic.
Something like that, huh? It has been quite a ride, Trevor, I'll tell you here. Let's start and talk about this image, the picturesque scene of three presidents, and there were actually four in the region. That's become a big news cycle, President Trump was in the neighborhood, as you say, but not invited to this event, to be sure. He was at the NYPD offices, a service there. But three presidents, celebrity performances, and there were some protester interruptions, but this was a huge fundraiser, $26 million. And this was Joe Biden with Barack Obama, and Bill Clinton came out for this one. Interesting. And what did you make of that event? The money they raised was spectacular. Colbert, by the way, Colbert was the moderator, I guess, or MC [S2] Right. [S1] of the deal. What'd you gather out of it?
Well, what I'm saying is this: they know that Joe Biden on his own is a hopeless case. So they've got to bring the mana of Bill Clinton and the celebrity appeal of Barack Obama. So they're making this election really about the legacy of the Democratic Party rather than Biden himself, which is a smart strategy, because Biden is the most hopeless candidate in Democratic Party history. So yeah, this is what they got to do. They got to say, you know, elect Biden to preserve the legacy of Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. And this is making it very explicit.
The juxtaposition of those two images, there was some, as you know, a lot of conversation about that with Trump just around the area there, and the little bit of a disconnect with the NYPD officer Dylan, who was fatally shot there in New York. And, so you have the image of crime on one side of the scale. You have a former president visiting the service who was invited from the family. The family did not reach out to the other side, I guess. There was no connection there. They didn't really talk about it. They wanted that image to go away, but yet it played out on the same day in the same, within hours of each other. Quite a position of two visuals. How did Americans truly, beside the media foaming on this thing, what do you think Americans took from that all, please?
Well, I thought it was good. You know, like this is President Trump. You know, the Republicans are allegedly the elitists, right? But this is President Trump going to a funeral with a man killed in the line of duty, and obviously caring about the family. The family knew they could relate to this man, that he would care about their plight and their situation. Meanwhile, you've got these three elitist presidents, you know, who claim to be working in the interests of the common people, but wouldn't know a common person if they tripped over one. And so, yeah, this is the real battle here. You know, I regard the battle in America now as the common people versus the elites.
Yeah.
And the Democratic Party represents the elites, and Trump's movement represents the common people.
The blue collar. Yeah. How did that change so rapidly, Trevor? What you just say there is really important coming into this election. Two thoughts on that, please. How did that image, what you just say there, change so rapidly from the Democrat Party and the Republican Party? And do you think the Americans are aware of this? Because I get the sense a lot of people still haven't caught on to what you just said.
Yeah, that's quite right, I think. But see, the Democratic Party, as it consolidated power and got more and more socialist over the last 20 years, they burnt off a lot of their base. You know, they showed through NAFTA and the policies that they've been implementing, the legal immigration onslaught that they brought on, the corruption and perversion of schools, the attacks on religion. This is the basically destruction of American manufacturing. All of this was their base. This was, you know, the blue collar workers in the Midwest, the union guys, the traditional Democrats were being burned off by the elitist bent of the Democratic Party in the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so Trump wise, and the Republicans weren't really awake to this, but Trump saw the gap. He saw that American patriots want to make America great. They don't see it as a left-right thing. They see it as a common man versus the elites thing. And Trump, you know, who's always been an outsider, you know, he was never really part, although he was a rich businessman in New York, he was never really fully accepted by the elites of New York. So he has gone for that working class, middle class, pro-American, basically socially conservative base.
Mm-hmm.
And that is 70 to 80% of America.
That's exactly
So absolutely. And which is why the Democrats, to counter this, have gone hell-bent on flooding the borders with illegal Democrats. And you're running candidates of color in the South to capitalize on what remains of their base. So, yeah, this is a big flip in American politics, and we should welcome it. We want to see a much more populist, a much more socially conservative, a much more working class, middle class oriented Republican Party that basically tells the Chamber of Commerce to take a hike. Trump gets money from everybody.
Right.
The Democrats get money from the elites and the unions.
Well, let's talk about that money, because right now they have a lot more money on the left. But Biden has got a war chest that's pretty big, pretty significant. Trump it would dwarf what's happening there on the Trump side of things. Now, money doesn't necessarily, as they say, we look historically at that. In fact, we see what happened in 2016. He did it with less money and less power all the way across the board. Doesn't necessarily garner you a victory, but it surely does help buy some earwaves and some time up. What kind of an influence do you think that will have here in 2024, the money?
Well, I think it'll make the result closer. Absolutely. But, you know, the old maxim is if you're lying, you have to outspend your opposition. But if somebody's lying and somebody's telling the truth, the liar has to outspend the truth teller by about 10 to 1 ratio. That's apparently a scientific thing. And so, look, yes, I would wish the money differential was more in Trump's favor. Absolutely.
Yeah, but then he'd be lying. But hold on now. If I follow your analysis, then he would be lying then.
I'm just saying.
Exactly.
You know, it's just a scenario you throw out there. I hadn't thought of it that way, but I do appreciate it, by the way.
But look, there's the election I harken back to was the election, I think, about 2013, when Dave Bratt went up against Eric Cantor, you know, in a Virginia by-election. And a Virginia election, and Eric Cantor had $5 million. He was the darling of the Democrat rhinos, and Dave Bratt had about $200,000 and about 100 Tea Party volunteers, and they made the election all about illegal immigration. Dave Bratt was against it. Eric Cantor was the darling of the House, who was supporting immigration amnesty, and Dave Bratt on the day beat Eric Cantor by 8 points.
Yeah.
And it destroyed the Rhinos' efforts to pass amnesty. You know, it saved America. That election saved America.
Wow.
But the point is, if you're telling the truth, you don't need so much
interesting
money.
Interesting. Well, we need another election to save America, Trevor. We need another election.
But, you know, tell the people the truth,
right,
and they will respond. You can get a lot of votes by lying and fudging and spending lots of money. Yes, you can. But the American people are basically good. They're not stupid.
Amen.
They have certain core beliefs.
Yeah.
And we're coming to a pivotal time where America's going to go one way or another. And even a lot of Democrats, a lot of people who would have supported the Democratic Party in the past, are realizing the Democratic Party of yesterday is been taken over by the communists and the elitists.
Right, right, right.
They are going to go for American values, and Trump.
Well, we see that.
Articulate those.
We see that, and frankly, the better narrative, anyways, I think you might agree, potentially, is to really, this isn't a conversation, or we shouldn't make it a conversation, and about really Democrats and Republicans, left and right, but it really is about America first versus, well, that's really to me what the fight is, Trevor. America first, and the globalists trying to take over.
Yeah, this is American values, faith, family, freedom, the American individual, American sovereignty against the elitists. And those elitists are on both parties. And that's why the MAGA movement is such a refreshing break from the past. It's the way forward.
Yeah, I love what you say there, man. Love you nail it down. Now, in regards to one other step here before we jump over something else here, in regards to this... Trump now and MAGA, as you say, and the RNC. Now, we see these developments here. Let me talk to you about these developments with getting Ronna McDaniel out of there is the chairwoman of the RNC there. And they let go of quite a few people, actually. I don't know. Most people may not be aware of that, but they did let go a whole cabal there of people in the RNC. And he swept his folks into power, including two co-chairs there, and Laura Trump is in there now, so on and so forth. So really now, he has really swallowed the whole thing whole. He's now got people in there calling the shots, versus usually before the political party itself would fight against you to do whatever it is. Interesting strategy. What I'm saying is he's sort of taken it over now. Speak about that point. Was that a, I mean, obviously strategically, probably a smart move, but you don't see that often a lot. I haven't seen that a lot, at least that I recall, where they take over the whole smackaroo here, as he did. Was that smart for the RNC to do that?
Look, absolutely. Look, you know, what was Trump's biggest problem when he got in the first time? He didn't understand the depth of the deep state, and he didn't understand the treachery of the RNC.
Yeah.
And so he basically gave personnel to the RNC, who gave him a whole bunch of losers who did everything they could to sabotage Trump's agenda. You know, this is gratifying to me because it shows he has learned. You know, he's actually firing people. You know, like apparently, he's, you know, he must have watched some show that was about firing people. Oh, no, that was his show. That's right. That's right. You know, if he had followed his own advice, and when he got into power, his tenure would have been a lot easier.
I often thought that, Trevor. I often thought that. Yeah.
You know, but I think he's learned from that mistake. You know, we already know he's going to fire 10,000 civil servants straight away. Just, you know, look to Milei in Argentina. He's going to sack 70,000 public servants. You know, when I say public servants, that's not the real term. These are public leeches.
They're bureaucrats.
They're bureaucrats. So this is great. I mean, this is what has to happen in America. The deep state has to be cleaned out. Yeah. And I think Trump has battled the deep state now for 5 or 6 years. They are a sworn enemy.
Yeah.
And by cleaning out the RNC and putting his own people in power, which he should have done last time, that is a smart move going forward. And I already know they have a big farm team ready. The minute Trump assumes office, there's going to be a massive cleansing of the bureaucracy.
Wow.
And I think there's several thousand people all geared up, ready to go. So the mistake that was made last time will hopefully be corrected.
Well,
this is a good sign of things.
I'm so glad you put that out there. And that just reminds, I think you might agree with the fact that much of that bureaucratic state and a lot of that is embedded because of the 8 years of the Barack Obama administration. Mm. He really took over the deep state and the establishment, a better way to put it, the bureaucratic state, don't you think?
But basically, Obama stacked the federal administration full of communists. There's no other way to describe them. These are hardcore radical leftists.
Yeah.
He was preparing for a full-on communist revolution, and Hillary Clinton was supposed to complete it, and Trump got in the way. But the holdover, see, this is a normal what normally happens. When the Democrats get in power, they purge all the Republicans. All the Republican appointments. When the Republicans get in power, they leave all the Democrats in place.
Yeah, yeah.
So the deep state, the deep state, which is basically communist, just keeps on going. Well, we got to see a big purge, a massive purge. The only way to save America is to purge these enemies out of the system.
Yeah, well, that is, fight fire with fire, as they say. You understand? You have to play that game very much.
That's right. Yeah. This is nothing bad. This is
That's right.
Administration that is elected by a public mandate has every right to put its people that will can be trusted to fulfill that mandate.
Well, let me ask you this.
It is negligence not to.
Yeah. That's right. So I get the sense, at least from talking to you right now, you feel I'm getting the sense of a boast of confidence. Last few times I've detected, I hadn't quite seen like this in regards to this particular point of view in conversation. Are you feeling like the it's stacking up pretty strong that number 47 will be Donald Trump? Are you starting to sense that?
I think the chances are higher now than they were a month ago. I think the polls are definitely moving.
Yeah.
Biden's numbers are collapsing. And the wild card is always going to be the vote fraud, the cheating. Yeah. The other wild card will be the level of violence we experienced this summer, which I think is going to be pretty intense, both from domestic radicals and the Chinese
foreign invaders.
Water.
You expect something to happen. You're thinking of.
I'll be absolutely shocked.
Right.
And I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm the biggest idiot in America. I hope I'm so wrong. But if we do not see terrorist attacks and sabotage and other things this summer, I will be shocked to the core. Yeah. But I will guarantee you this: the day that Trump gets elected, in that lame duck period between him getting elected and taking office when Biden is still in control, we're going to see this country erupt into anarchy.
Wow.
That's for sure.
Wow. Yeah, I keep hearing the words, too, from people in various circles, a black swan event. That's kind of what you're speaking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think there won't be one. I think there'll be multiple.
Gotcha. Yeah. It is my greatest fear. I talk to listeners all the time about that. I do have an uncomfortable sense about what you say there. But I do think, Trevor, on the bright side of things, and just keeping it real with you again, please, oftentimes we in this country, historically looking at it, we have to cleanse to be able to move forward.
Yeah.
And we have to address the problems head on in order to accomplish the things you just laid out moments ago. This would be, I mean, in a weird, odd sort of way, would it not be we do need to get there and have this pain is going to happen. There's a price to pay for all of this. But clearly the benefits of happening before November is actually better than happening after November. Is that properly said?
Yeah, I think so. And this is how strategic the left is going to be. I read the left's publications a lot, and they are pretty much thinking that Trump is going to win. And they're really strategizing around what they're going to do when he wins and how they're going to create chaos.
Right.
But, look, If you look at the pandemic, the COVID, in many ways, that was hugely damaging, but it alerted Americans to tyranny. It alerted Americans to the depth of corruption in this country and how tyrannous the government could become. It also, we saw Black Lives Matter. We saw, a Chinese operation. Millions of Americans now fully understand, which they wouldn't have understood 5 years ago, that we're on the verge of losing this country. All the Democrats, if they win again, all they have to do is legalize 30 million, 40 million illegal immigrants and give them all citizenship and voting rights, who will then vote 80, 90% Democrat, and we have a one-party socialist state in America
Well,
from
that's
that
the
point.
goal, isn't it now?
That is the goal. So that's how critical this election is. But everywhere I go around the country, you get there's fired up groups, there's new church groups getting involved in politics, there's Moms for Liberty type groups. It's bigger than the Tea Party out there, but you don't hear about it because the media doesn't want to give it
All
oxygen.
right, real quickly, what about these reports that the and I've seen multiples of them now that the Biden the administration itself they are kind of ramping things up, twisting the screws a little bit, doing some things to make it harder, difficult, more uncomfortable for a new administration such as Trump to do the kinds of things you just expressed. What about that?
Oh, look, absolutely. So, but this goes to my point. The left is really thinking more about how they're going to handle Trump rather than stopping him, because they see the momentum, and so they are going to sabotage the new administration. They're going to put roadblocks in his way, make everything very difficult, and they're going to commit mass violence. Rights, what we saw when Trump got elected in 2017, what we saw through Black Lives Matter protests will be nothing compared to what's going to come the day he gets elected. And this is not to deter Trump supporters. This is to get people prepared and hunker down and get lots of food supplies and know where your family is and all of these kind of things for the power shutdowns and the violence that could come. But as you say, this is part of restoring America to liberty. I don't want any violence. I don't want anybody to get hurt at all. But I know the left well enough to know they are going to go ballistic. So local police departments, local groups, you should be, every church should be liaising with the local sheriff. Every patriotic group and Republican Party should be liaising with the local sheriffs. How do we help you restore order if things turn to chaos? If there's a bomb, if there's an assassination, if there's a reservoir, a bridge gets blown out or whatever. And I don't want to sound like a Jeremiah. I don't want to sound like I'm predicting these horrible things. We have seen some horrible things. We've got 8 million across the border. They're not coming here to go to Vegas. They're here to create trouble. And so you just got to be realistic here. If we're going to get through this, we've got to be prepared for it and realize a free America lies on the other side.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing you say there. I mean, it's an important thing, the message you say. Hey, listen, I got to ask you this real quickly, get this in under the wire. You mentioned the bridge, you mentioned the things, okay? So again, I don't know if you, let me just ask you this strange, odd kind of question. I hear a lot of different reports around me. Potentially people are questioning the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge there in Maryland. Have you heard any stories to the point that there might be anything unusual around that? Yes or no?
Well, I have very close friends who tell me they think it's sabotage, but I also have another very close friend who's a maritime captain who laid out to me very clearly the sequence of failures that led to the disaster. So it's an open question to me. I think the bigger question is this particular incident, we don't know yet, but we do know there's been an upsurge in major fires, there's been an upsurge in suspicious fires in factory food factories and that kind of thing. And I know there's been a big upsurge in strikes And I know there's military people coming across the southern border. So whether this particular incident was sabotage or not, I think we should all be very vigilant because clearly there is a program to create chaos in America right now. This may be part of it. It may not be, but it is there and it's going to get worse.
Well, it's you lay out all the ingredients for a very bad recipe is what you've done here. Looking at the tea leaves, I mean, you just spell it all out there. And it should give people a caution, pause, to know what the stakes are here. The stakes are incredibly high. There is a nation that hangs in the balance, is what your message
is. A world that hangs in the balance.
That's a good point.
A world that hangs, because if America goes down, don't matter where you live, you're in trouble.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? Look, I mean, what a spotlight that is on that moment. There would people that would argue that from a lot of my libertarian friends who think it doesn't matter, but I would argue back it does indeed matter. You're exactly right.
100% right.
It is part of our mandate and the goal, whether we like it or not. We have ownership of that. So that's the way it goes, I think. But Trevor, just terrific, terrific points, analysis here just to come through all of this. And thank you for that, and thank you for joining me here on the 8th anniversary. Now, we're going to watch these steps.
Congratulations on those 8 years. Congratulations.
TrevorLoudon.com, friends, a good place to go and get a sense. And his books, again, are in the America Out Loud bookstore. Just type in Trevor. They'll come right up. You'll see them. And there'll be links to this broadcast when it goes to podcast late Sunday afternoon, by the way. So there's many ways to connect with Trevor there. So, all right. I've got a amazing. I'm going to call it a star. My own. It's not the leftist star, but a star-studded panel. How's that? A terrific roundtable coming up right now with some marvelous people here. Looking forward to this. Want to take on some of the very, very big stories. Very interesting. Remember to join us back at AmericaOutloud.news. Stay right there. More Viewpoint in just a moment. When God, through His grace and mercy, gave us free will, the will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
We joined you back here on 8 years at America Out Loud. Welcome into Viewpoint this Sunday, my fellow Americans. And as always, thank you for joining us on the mission here. And first, it's going to be Lieutenant Colonel Sargis Sangari joins me, and it's always good to have him here. He's a retired Lieutenant Colonel, U.S. Army Infantry, Special Operational Forces, more than a couple of decades military experience. But the thing I love about Sargis is he brings a perspective to the conversation that others may not have, having been born there in that part of the world in Iran, but just a terrific military hero and just a patriot, really, best way to say it here. So all right, let's get to the story first here, Sarge, and then I'll make the other introductions. I'm going to keep you in suspense, friends, as the other big voices I've got on here. So just stay right there. But let's get to the story here. Okay, so here's what happens here, Sarge. Here's what I want to talk to you about. They have this star-studded event up in New York with the three presidents, Biden, Obama, and Clinton. It's sort of like Larry Moe and Curly, I guess, more or less. But anyways, they were there doing their thing. And there was a lot of protest. In fact, there were interruptions about five times for the Palestinian terrorists interrupting the group, so on and so forth. This is a real problem the party has, the Democrat Party has, is straddling this fence of the communist takeover and the terrorist aspect of the party in trying to maintain where the Democrats are. Now, the bigger problem I want to talk to you on is this challenge right now with Benjamin Netanyahu and Joe Biden and the Democrat establishment. It's going to be a real problem for the Jewish people, I think. What do you make of this rift? And how do we straddle this? How does the administration do it? Is it even possible?
Well, first of all, congratulations on being a voice of freedom over the past 8 years, and God's hoping that it will continue into the future for a long time.
Amen.
I have to tell you that the problem we have here is the fact that the U.S. administrations, regardless Republican, Democratic, have always looked at this from a diplomatic perspective, whether it be a foreign policy viewpoint from the American side or domestic policy from the Israeli side. However, the reality is that the one side that you have in this entire discussion and negotiations has never looked at it that way. They've only looked at it from a religious perspective. Hamas believes that the land that is called Israel religiously is inherited by them, not the Jews. Okay? And they believe that anything that sits in that piece of real estate, whatever that piece of pie is, which is no bigger than a postage stamp, that piece is given to them through their religious belief, which means that there's never going to be able to be a two-state solution or an Israel. Israel must not exist from a Hamas perspective, because if you tell me that there's a state, it's called Israel, it's a democratic nation, it is amongst the free worlds, it is recognized by the United Nations. And Hamas says, yeah, but they're sitting in a piece of property that inheritance belongs to me. So the entire state needs to pack it up and leave. And by the way, there's another piece to this, that every Jew that ever claims the inheritance of that land being to them based on being given to them in their religious text, those individuals must die. So it doesn't matter where they are. It could be a 2-year-old baby sitting somewhere in New Jersey or Chicago. That individual must die, because you can never allow anyone else to ever come and declare inheritance of that piece of pie in the future by saying that I am a chosen person and that piece of property has been given to me. The issue we have here is U.S. politicians, the people who are protesting, look at it from that perspective. They don't look at it from the other perspective. If they look at it from that other perspective, they would understand why Hamas so easily went into Israel on October 7 and killed children, women, and elderly, and why everyone who supported Hamas, which were the people of Gaza, who built those tunnels with their hands, actually supported what Hamas has done in the past and continue to this day under new polls show tremendous support for Hamas and any other Palestinian authority that believes in that ideology.
Does Biden desert them at the end, or does the faucet stay open with the financial support and moral support and all of that?
No, because I think that the polls are so bad in the current elections that Biden just does not have a leverage or the backup of the people to be able to abandon them. He is controlled by what we call the far left, unfortunately, and it is what it is. It's too late.
So he will abandon them, you're saying?
It would make sense for him to do so. I think it would help him out. But the problem is that I don't think he's lost so much leverage internally is it possible that he won't be able to.
Dr. Peter Breggin joins me now. And Dr. Breggin, what can you say? I mean, it's hard to put it in words, but he has made such an impact throughout his life and his career, to be sure. He's the author, along with his amazing wife, Ginger Breggin, of that game-changing book, I would call it, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, We Are the Prey. And talking about globalists, I mean, he attacked the whole establishment. They did. I see a report in Politico, Dr. Breggin, says Biden opens the door to revisiting the early days of the pandemic. Now, let me explain what this is about. This is really interesting. And this gets into the 2024 election. So thus far, they have avoided talking about COVID and the pandemic and all of that. But as Politico says here, they're now invoking the darkest days of the pandemic as a strategy in the election. And these are their words. They say, first, this is Biden talking now. He says, first responders were literally risking their lives. Nurses were in garbage bags as garments because they couldn't get any other help. He was talking at fundraisers, talking about how bad of a job Trump did. Loved ones were dying all alone, and we couldn't even say goodbye to them. So they're trying to harp on this darkest days of America, that last year, and not the first 3 years, because Trump is out there saying, let's go back to the glory days. Let's go back to the Trump administration. Let's go back to make America great again. Let's go back to all of that. You know, the economy busted along. Things are doing great. Now, Biden, it's a strategy. You say, well, hold on, not so fast, his people are saying. And so now he's reminding them on all these events. What do you think of that story? Can it work? Is it a good strategy? Is it a strategy at all to remind Americans of those darkest days?
Well, first, let me say, first of all, I'm very glad to be here on your anniversary. What an honor for all of us. It is hard to know what garbage is going to appeal to and work with the progressives. And I think that their messaging is far less important than our messaging, because theirs has an indoctrination that is already accepting Israel. Israel is bad, and everybody who hates Israel is good, that the conservatives are evil, and everyone who sides with conservatives is evil. They have set up the good and bad world in which the devil is good. So that's what we live with, and we have to call that as clearly as Sargis has called what's going on in the Middle East. And we just have to stand up on these issues with all the clarity we have, as you have been doing for 8 years.
Amen to that, Dr. Breggin. Amen to that. Stay right there. I want to come back in a moment on a point of Operation Warp Speed, Dr. Breggin, but hold on just a moment here. Let me bring on another voice here. Daniel Baranowski joins us now. Daniel is just an amazing, one of the best authors, writers. He's one of the few who I can really surely say, when he sends his pieces in, you can't even find a grammatical comma out of place. That's how ridiculous you are, Daniel. You know that. He's a retired healthcare management and policy instructor at the Harvard University School of Public Health. He has battled life-ending cancer several times. He is a victor. He is, I'll tell you what. When it comes to courage, I can't think of anybody that stands higher, taller than Daniel Baranowski, to be sure. Everything he's been through personally in his life, two bouts of life-ending leukemia for most, breast cancer. I have to say this because it's factual, it's true, and stands the test of time, time and again, looks at evil in the face and tells it to go to hell. That's the way I see it.
Amen.
All right, Daniel, there's your introduction. You hardly ever get an introduction like that anywhere. Come on.
I know.
All right. I want to talk to you about this Operation Warp Speed a moment, sir. Yeah. And so back to what I was just talking about, Dr. Breggin, about. But so this is a real challenge for the Trump administration with a lot of the core and the base. who is really upset with them not standing back, having that conversation with the American people about the danger of these injections and jabs and, all kinds of names they have. They call them vaccines, but they're really not. Gene injections, whatever you want to call them. And it's a real problem for the straddling that fence here a little bit. Now, of course, we see Biden trying to use the pandemic in a very interesting way. How does he straddle that fence? Because right now I have inside story people telling me he is legitimately staying off of that. I can't say the names who tell me, but this is intentional. He doesn't want that press conference, doesn't want to talk it, doesn't want to take that on. But some of his base is demanding he, because he supported, he talked about that being a victory, the Operation Warp Speed after the State of the Union speech, Daniel. He really irritated the base, a good part of them. Bottom line, how does he straddle this? Can he, or is it a losing cause?
First off, happy Easter to you, Malcolm, and to all the America Out Loud family, and to your very curious listeners today. And it's an absolute honor and privilege to be with you. I'm so delighted to be here. Warp speed was a great idea. Trump didn't have the people he needed to execute it and watch what was going on. As we're finding out now, you know, from these clinical trials and all the adverse events that were filed and everything else, there were a lot of problems. And, you know, the left really used this as a power move to promote the chaos that these Marxists in the White House really wanted to. No children died of COVID, you know, under the age of eight, something in that category. All this trying to push, vaccines of six month old and that having a lifetime of MRA, vaccines was really ridiculous. I don't think they're going to blame Trump for this. The garbage that Biden has continued to put out even before the election. In fact, it's how probably he stole the election by having all these states change their voting systems because nobody could come in at the scare of COVID.
I want to get over to talk about free speech, all of that. Dr. Brigham, I want to get a quick word from you and just real fast here on Operation Warp Speed. You know what the juxtaposition of this argument is. And I just want to ask you straight out. By avoiding this, is he playing it right? Or should he get to the microphone? And what I suggested even a year or two ago is have just a heart-to-heart with the American people, which always works swimmingly well, but it looks like they're not going to do that. Will that be okay?
No, because Bobby Kennedy is purposely thrown into this mix take away votes from Trump by being the anti-vaxxer. And I'm not asking Trump to be an anti-vaxxer, but he has nothing to throw at Bobby Kennedy if he is defending warp speed and Kennedy is attacking it. I think it's a huge technical error, and it may have more to do with with ego than with his planning, his actual political good sense.
So
I think it's a bad idea, and you have to look out for Bobby Kennedy. I have a couple of quick things to say about it, though, in addition to that. You're absolutely right. This thing would never work because it was planned to kill people, planned 10 years ahead of time by Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, by the head of philanthropic organizations that are all for depopulation and the left and so on. And even the two drugs, the two companies, Pfizer and Moderna, were planned ahead 10 years by Bill Gates working with Klaus Schwab to be the companies to get their vaxes out, because there were hundreds of different kinds of companies that wanted to get in on this. So it was not even a failure from their viewpoint. It was a success. They are cheering what they accomplished in COVID-19. They killed a lot of people. Wow. They disabled a lot of people. They proved that America would put up with even the slaughter of its children.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a great success. And one other quick point.
Real quick.
Don't forget who ran Warp Speed. It was the U.S. Department of Defense.
Mm, wow.
And we can't forget that. And I don't know how Trump missed it. It was announced on May 2020 when Warp Speed was announced. It was announced by the Department of Defense, not even by HHS.
Brilliant points to bring up, Dr. Bregan. I mean, you're spot on with the Department of Defense, your comments, and the way this has come down. You can't argue with it. And the globalists, the carnage, you know, I would almost say the carnage of COVID, the carnage of COVID. That's what it is.
It's not caused by the virus, caused by the policy.
Exactly.
Intentionally wanting to wreck.
That's the deal. Yeah. That's the carnage right there. One of my great writers on the platform here, COVIDocracy. She's had some brilliant editorials. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I want to talk now about the drum roll part of this whole conversation and the reason I wanted your three voices here in regards to free speech. And I want to talk about America Out Loud a little bit. I want to talk about 8 years as we celebrate here, 8 years, April 1, 2016, in the year of our Lord, 2016, we launched this network, not really knowing where the tea leaves would be or what would happen. We just felt, we've seen what was happening with the Fourth Estate, with the media in our nation. We've seen what had happened through 8 long years of a Marxist takeover with the Obama years. We fought against that. And it was just time that we felt we had to take, we the people I'm speaking of now, to take matters into our own hands. And that's really was the rise of what I call independent media and what is transpiring in our nation. Now, there was a recent story, and I want to go right around the room here with each of you here. Just give me some opening comments to this, and then we'll get into a little more here. But this was NBC, Ronna McDaniel. Boy, this was a test of free speech if there ever was one. And I would say NBC stepped into it big time, man. Wow. All right, so they go and hire this lady here. And they say here, the executives say, well, and I quote their words, the NBC brass, it couldn't be a more important moment to have a voice like Ronna's. Ronna McDaniel on the team. Hey, 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 here, here, here. Well, the NBC hosts were not going to have it. And they had public meltdowns to the likes we hadn't seen since that Wicked Witch of the West melted down in The Wizard of Oz. And now we see we finally revisited that to get the sequel here to that show. And it was happening in live broadcast, my fellow Americans. It was unbelievable. But here's the test I want to talk to you about. What does this say about speech? What does this say about the Fourth Estate? What does this say? I mean, NBC is the poster child for this. What does this say? Let me come right back to you, Lieutenant Colonel Sergeant Sangari. What do you speak about with that story? What took place in the public square? What does that say, sir?
Well, it says that individuals who have a certain belief and they have the control of that medium are going to basically exclude anyone else from coming in and actually debunking some of the ideas that they have basically relayed to their viewers. So that's pretty much it. I think it's more simpler than we kind of look at it. Free speech is up to the individuals, right? If you as an individual decide not to talk, that's your choice. Right. I've told my kids a number of times, I've said, you know, you're from the neck up. You're what you hear or see, which drives what you're thinking about. And the first time you talk about it and act on it, it defines who you are. And these organizations have for years defined who they are.
Daniel Baranowski, on this point here, real quickly here. The straightforward question I want to know with NBC. How do they, serious, I mean, I don't really know the answer to this. How and can they recover? Or are people so stupid out there that they will overlook this with NBC? I mean, are they that ridiculous and that demented to see what NBC has done here? I mean, they have showed their stripes. We know who and what they are. I mean,
the damage is really to NBC, not to MSNBC. And it's the MSNBC people that were speaking. So the whole network has been damaged, but they've really exposed themselves as cancel culture and censorship with whipped cream and a cherry on top. This goes back to this governing board that Mayorkas wanted to form, you know, in the Department of Homeland Security. They were going to censure speech officially to protect it. It has to do with the Twitter files and all that came out from there that was going on. It has to do with this suit that's at the Supreme Court now about government censoring information.
Yeah.
These people believe that they know what's best, and they have coalesced around that, and they are ruthless. I mean, one of the reasons I was happy to be at Harvard and eventually leave Harvard is that the ranks were closing there, and you saw all the sequelae that came out of that, just with this, you know, the anti-Semitism that's going on.
Well, let's just say that's not the same establishment today that it was back then.
Oh, it isn't.
If you
just even peeped, you were out.
So let me ask you this now. I've got just a couple of minutes. I'm going to each take 45 seconds, a minute at most, and let me go right around the room here. All right, here's what I want to put out there. 8 years now, America Out Loud. My goal to start this, my friends, was to really bring in voices. I love that from my corporate boardroom days, bringing in opposing voices, other voices, giving people opportunity to make the points. The diversity of thought, diversity of opinion, diversity of America. That was really the goal here, is to have a conversation. Hence the many voices, one freedom, united in the First Amendment. However, the question I have recently with our relaunch of the new site and platform this past year in January, we have brought in some voices that are more center and some that are even a little center left, not crazy left, but more in that category to have those conversations. There is pushback, however, not only with our internal team, but with listeners who say, I don't like them. It seems we've gotten to a point of our country, we really only want to have an echo chamber. Nobody really wants to know the opposing viewpoints. It's hooray for me and the hell with you. That's the way this thing goes. And that's how it is. So does America Out Loud, should we embrace this idea of really what free speech is and get the various voices in? Or do we tell them all to go to hell, shut the door and bolt it and just smell our own stew all day long? What do you say to that? Dr. Peter Bregan, let me stay right with you. What do you say to that point, please?
Well, I think you're doing what's right. But I have something more important to talk about in 45 seconds, which is how you have changed my life and my wife's life.
Wow.
Folks don't know this story very much, but Robert Malone got people around, even around me and Malcolm, terrorized of him, so afraid that they wanted to take everything I ever said about Malone down off of America Out Loud. That shows the power of America Out Loud, but also the power of Malone, when he got other people to intervene. He intervened, his wife intervened, to get Malcolm to drop Peter Bregan's criticism of his theology, fundamentally, of his ideas, his ideology. You stood firm. You never for a second hinted to me that it would be easier if we dropped my comments, just my comments, about Malone. God bless you for that.
Thank you, because you were being sued for big money back then.
Well, then, no, I got sued for the big money after you stood firm and I stood firm and I said to the world, I'm not going to shut up because Malone's attacking me. That's not free speech. That means all you got to do is sue somebody and shut him up.
It's a case study for what happened, Peter, really.
It is a case study. And just very quickly, we got fired by our first two lawyers, because they just wouldn't stand by what we said was the sine qua non, which we were going to continue to criticize Malone. Malone has been thrown out of court, meanwhile, for simply jurisdiction, and has been criticized in the process by the judge for potentially having a frivolous
suit. Well, to your point, if I had caved at any point in that, Dr. Bregan, I could not have lived with myself. I don't like it when people come and they make statements in public and then they don't follow that through. You have to be a person of principle. And to me, there was a lot of pressure here. There were heat from some very powerful people.
In the
movement and others who were strong-arming me to take things down. I will leave it at that. I will not name names. I will not get into that sort of mud throwing. But there was some very big heat here and heavy as to what to do. It was a very tenuous moment, but there was no way I was going to do that. And I wouldn't do that to anybody. And I was going to stand with you. And I did stand with you.
Ever?
Peter, and I would never change that. I would never change that decision.
Now, a more a little lighter note, really quickly. I have tried for the 40 years that I've been married to my wife, Ginger, for her to do TV and or radio with me. She's brilliant. She's beautiful. She's articulate. No, her job was to promote me. God bless her. But Malcolm sweet-talked her into doing our radio show together. He basically said, I don't want Peter alone. Ginger, you got to be on too. Oh, and she said, okay. And we have been enjoying more and more the radio show with you together. And you are solely responsible for fulfilling big hopes in life, which was to actually do media with Ginger.
Wow, what a blessing that is. And by the way, they are the host of America Out Loud Pulse every Thursday, the live show. You'll hear Dr. Peter Bregan and Ginger Bregan, who are an amazing host on that day. That is a powerful, America Out Loud Pulse is one of our top shows. It is amazing. And but yes, it is a privilege to have you and Ginger on the platform in all of their glory. And to think I had a small part of that is amazing. But thank you. Now, Daniel, yes. Back to this whole thing. Free speech. Go ahead.
Yep. Yeah, America. I've got it. Listen, if we really do need to do a show about you, Malcolm, but you need to block out about 4 hours, okay, and talk about the contributions you've made to each of our lives. I mean, you caught me at a very bad part of my life, and you've lifted me up. And not only that, I no longer have to talk back to the television. I can go write it. I can do a podcast. Okay. My wife is very happy with that, that situation. But this is how we have to look at the rules. The rules say that in the perfect world, we should balance this out and have two sides. But there is such a scarcity of conservative thought in a long format where you get to do it in a podcast or you get to do it in an article. There's so little of that that America Out Loud stands very tall in that. If I want to hear the most ridiculous things, I can go to MSNBC. Or if I want to hear, you know, the other side's academic or scholarly approach to these things, there's a host of organizations that are pumping out the other side's viewpoint from the progressive Marxist, you know, point. Right. But, I'd be sad to see you bring in too much of that. Sometimes some of us are a little over the top, and how strongly we feel about some things. But I would say let's stay in the mainstream of conservative thought and the important things you can bring to everyday life, which you're doing through this channel. It's just, it's amazing.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you. Lieutenant Colonel Sergeant St. Gary, last word, sir. In regards to this idea of bringing in other voices, do you see that as a positive thing? Or as Daniel's saying, be more careful there, stay more in that pocket there, or what do you think?
Oh, look, you always have to be kind of be a bit on the watch side as to why is this individual coming. But I would tell you that, look, as I've told you in the past, I was chasing down a terrorist in Iraq one time, and if I had found him, he would have been dead. He realized it, made a deal with the with our government, and my bosses said, now you got to go sit down and eat with him. And this individual was responsible for killing an American soldier on Christmas Eve, just a floor above where I was operating. Now, I always said, if I can sit with that individual and eat out of the same plate for the benefit of my country, then I'm willing to sit with other Americans for the benefit of my country. And if I have to give them an opportunity to be where I am, for them to also hear other voices and be influenced, that's an opportunity for us as Americans to move forward.
Yeah, thank you for that contribution, Sergeant. That is important. Yeah, I do think that part of this mission really was to open up the airwaves and to celebrate the diversity of America, the diversity of people, not necessarily the Marxist, communist, or globalist evil. That is not what I'm talking about here. But it is about having conversations again and bringing America back to its roots. We are definitely a divided nation. Much of this is by design, no doubt about it, my fellow Americans, but we must embrace the moment. We must have conversation at the water cooler. We must tell those loudmouth people to sit down and pay attention and listen up, man. We're fighting for our nation and fighting for liberty, and justice for all. Friends, thank you for joining us on The Mission Here, powerful broadcast from start to finish. Be sure to share it out there from sea to shining sea, and let's save our great nation. Thank you for joining me on The Mission Here. It's time to get involved and get loud, America.